Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back at it again. It is your show host, Kim Bullock. Get it? Really excited. Welcome back to the live show here on Blog Talk Radio, Brown Sugar Radio. Just truly excited. Y'all know how I get down. Every Tuesday, we back in action. And I'm so excited because I have another, look, first of all, those of you who have been down with Brown Sugar Radio since 2007, I know you've listened to a lot of the archives and you've been down listening to a lot of the shows. Many of you remember this guest. He's actually coming back. So I want to say welcome home. All right. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Most definitely to my brother friend, Juan Thomas. What's happening?
What's good? What's good, sis? How you doing?
Oh, goodness. You know, it's so funny. I'm so, first of all, it's just a blessing for us to see 2021. Let's just go ahead and put that out.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yeah, just automatic. That alone. For real.
Yeah. This year, the last 12 months have been ridiculous. But I want to say,
yes,
I'm glad that you're healthy, your family's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me? And I'm glad you're back on Brown Sugar Radio.
Yes,
you
I'm glad to be back. Thank you. For real. Thank you, for real. I remember last time we were talking about it earlier, last time I was walking through the streets of Brooklyn, like trying to find a spot we could talk. I was like, yo, Kev, wait, hold on. All the people in the train station was looking at me like I was crazy because I'm laughing with you and everything. They thought I was nuts.
Hilarious, but we made it happen. You feel me? Look, you were live on location.
Sure did. Word up.
Man. Oh, hilarious. So I have pleasure of introducing the Psalm and definitely welcoming back, Daytuan, and, you know, you're just a man with a mission. You got some amazing things happening. For those of you who are joining us live in the chat, I want to say that this has been a dear friend of mine since, goodness, was it elementary? No, middle school. Middle school and high school.
Middle school. Yeah, middle school and high school. Yep. That was crazy, man.
So
all the way out in Japan.
All right. And I invited all of our high school peers. We actually have a private group for Yokota High School. Shout out to Yokota in the building. And so a lot of our classmates will be joining us tonight, listening in. And so I see them. They're tagging me on some posts and things. Thank you for the love and the support.
So,
listen, this is real. It's just a blessing to – we were so close because in the military, when you're overseas, for those of you who don't really understand the military lifestyle, when you're there and you're on this base, it's like you're in a playpen. It's like you're locked in and you don't have no choice but to bond with the people that you see every day. And it's so small. It's a small world, a small community, and you become like family. And that's what we did.
Automatic.
You know?
Automatic.
And,
I mean, like, especially like when you jump out there, you remember, you don't have any family there necessarily. You make your friends your family. And for most people, it's like, you know, you're there for a year or more, but I was locked in for 3 years straight. I didn't get to go back to the States. So from the end of 86 to the end of 89, we were just out there. You know what I mean? And, it was those incredible years. I got there when I was 11 and left when I was 14.
Jeez, that's something else.
Crazy.
You stayed the full three. Now, for us, would go back and forth. I was there for 4 years, and we would travel back and forth. We would go for the summer, you know, and so I feel what you're saying because a lot of the times, you know, when you miss your family and everybody that's in the States, that little vacation, it rejuvenated you because you're so secluded, and, you know, it's like you become almost immune to a lot of the different things that are going on because you're just so, it's like you're protected in this little bubble.
Yep. Yep.
Out there and you don't realize that you come back to the States. Like, wow.
Yo, I thought the culture shock from moving from Brooklyn, crazy hardcore Brooklyn in 86, to Yokota, Japan, and Futa. It was like, wow, look, you know, like you're able to see how clean it is. Everybody is all cool. Whatever drama it is like little drama, ain't nothing crazy when you get older and you realize it. But then coming from Japan, going back to Brooklyn in 89, I was just like, what in the hell? It was like a whole nother planet. I remember the one thing I remember, like when we were driving through the tunnels and we was coming over the bridge and all that stuff, I was like, damn, it's dirty out here. Goodness gracious, this is nasty. This is nasty as I don't know what. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Okay. We wasn't used to that because in the military, they had to keep the base clean. They had to keep, you know what I'm saying, everything on point. They didn't play that with the military bases. So, you know, when we were, you're right, I remember seeing when I moved to the States, all the homeless, that was a shock for me because we didn't see that on the military base.
Right.
You know?
Like that wasn't the life.
It was like, wait a minute.
Yep. And even off base, like even though I lived off base, you know, the Japanese, you know, community, they didn't really have like the homeless situation all crazy like that. You know, it wasn't like that where we would see it. I would say, though, like the one thing that kept me in tune with everything was like my family, you know, mailing Yo MTV raps and Video Music Box stuff.
For
and MTV.
Real? Oh, my goodness.
Those VHS tapes and all of Mr. Magic and Red Alert and all of that stuff. They used to send that to me all the time. So I was pretty much up in on the scene with that type of stuff. So I felt like I was still cool during my time in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, that was the dope part. But outside of that, the only thing that I really didn't like was the fact that we lived off base the whole time. So we weren't able to, like with y'all would go home after school. If I didn't stay over at, like, my man Ike crib, or if I didn't stay over at Maurice crib, I wouldn't see the new shows. A good example, Cosby Show or something like that. I didn't get to see it until, like, those tapes came or if I stayed over at somebody's crib. So that was the part that kind of kept me out. Music, I was up on. But on TV shows and stuff like that, I was like, kind of behind.
Yeah. Okay, I think we all was behind in that factor, man. Okay, because we got back to the States, and it was like a culture shock. You know, other than
it really
music,
was.
And that's so funny. Okay, look, now what's dope about that, what's funny about you talking about music, you know, the Salt and Pepper, okay? Biopic.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that.
And you remember Vanessa, right? Remember my homegirl Vanessa? Remember we used to dress
she had
the
cut.
All the time.
God rest her soul. God rest her soul. My girl V.
Listen, couldn't tell
she had
me
it.
Nothing. You heard? Look.
Yeah.
So it was you and Marie.
You had it too.
And Vanessa.
You had it too.
Man. Yep. You did. You had the where remember that you put the Kwame the blonde in the front.
Yep.
With the stair step box.
I did.
Boy,
yo, you remember
God,
that?
Nobody say nothing to us.
Couldn't tell us
so
nothing.
What was
I had
dope.
That Kwame look. Yep.
So cool. And what I loved about us, you know, we were all cool. Everybody, like I said, we all vibe together, which is ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I want to get into Vibe magazine. I'm like, how he come up with Vibe?
No
doubt. What are you thinking about us in Japan? But, so, because I was looking at the Salt and Pepper biopic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting here, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, that's what really made me think about Yokota and like, the culture, you know what I'm saying, and how we all, you know, we meshed really well, and I started looking at the styles and the music, and that was what really united us, because you're right, we didn't have a lot of access to the outside world, TV and all
and,
that. We was, even though we would get TV shows, Daytime, it was all that stuff that was like what the States had.
Right, it was bugged out. Like when you think about it. I also think about, like, how cool everyone was when it was time to be cool. You know, like when it was like dance contests and the youth center, everybody hanging out like in the summertime, going to the pool, you know, all the basketball games and the tournaments and stuff like that that we were in. It was just like a lot of fun, man. Like Japan was just like mad fun. And, you know, everybody, this is where it gets like a little too personal, but everybody used to be like dating, like, yo, who you talking to? Who you talking to? Oh, I'm talking to such and such. Oh, I'm talking to such and such. Everybody knew everybody. And the one thing that used to bug me out was like, we always used to write notes to each other. Everybody had like that. That whole system was like the post office. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I remember that. Oh, my goodness, Antoine, I forgot about the notes.
Yeah, the notes, man. Yes. We used to fold them up all crazy. It's going to be crazy. Yeah, man, that was some good times.
Oh, my Lord. Funny. But the two things I would say the most that I really, really loved, who we became out of Yokota, the fashion and the music, which leads me to the hip-hop industry, because that's when it really started emerging, and then we had the female MCs.
Yeah.
And like to this day, my kids will ask me, Mom, who's your favorite rap female rapper? And I'm like, MC Light and Song Player. But they're like, who is that?
Right. They're like, yo, who?
I said, look, that's who we grew up on.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
They're like, you don't like Nicki?
Automatic.
I said, of course I love Nicki, but I got to pay homage.
Like, we're going to love the ones where we had like our carefree, you know, lifestyle. Where, you know, you just basically going to school and you just trying to be up on what's hot and who's, you know, the hottest at that time. You attach those good time memories with the music that was popping around that time. And for me, it was like Big Daddy Kane, Kwame, you know, Public Enemy, LL Cool J. Like, those were the dudes that was, like, really rocking during our time. And then if you look at R&B was still, like, a little bit older during those days. So you had like LaVert and all of them, but then Musician and all of them started coming. So it made it, we were like in a crossroads where, you know, black popular music, be it R&B and hip hop, it was starting to cross over. It wasn't super mainstream yet, but it was starting to cross over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just, you're right. It was like a transitional period during that era, you know, man, I love it. And it's just so good reminiscing with you because I'm telling
all
you, my kids make me feel old as dirt. They be like, Mama, it's Nicki. I said, before Nicki, it was MC Light and Salt and Pepper. So now I got my kids listening to MC Light and Salt and Pepper. I'm putting it on them. I'm like, listen, let me school you on some music history, okay?
Same.
Let you know what
same
happened.
Here. Same
that
here.
Yep.
I got three girls. And you know, the youngest one, she's 13. She'll be 14 next month. And she's the music one. She's the one that's, like, looking at samples and just a super old soul.
Oh, I love it.
She's putting me on to, like, the group 3 Degrees, the three women from, like, the 70s and she's going through YouTube, and I was just thinking, like, dag, man, imagine if, you know, during our time being 12, 13, 14, we had the internet to go and look at stuff, you know, and learn so much, you know.
Oh,
it's
my
so
goodness.
Amazing that they're able to live.
It would have been a problem.
Where, like that information is readily available. Yeah, we had no internet, you know what I'm saying? You went outside.
Come on, they played for hours. You hear me?
Word.
And now we got these kids. They don't play outside. They FaceTime.
Yeah,
virtual. I'm like, listen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whole new generation. So let's talk about how you know, you got into, first of all, writing, because was it the notes, they Antoine, that inspired you to write? Like, what got you into
probably.
Being in chief of Vibe Magazine, vice president of cultural media for PMRC, and you got to break that down for us, for the ones who are really not familiar with how the magazine industry works and all that. Tell us how you got started. Now, I know you are listening again. You know a little bit about Antoine already, but this is for my new listeners who are tuning in tonight. We want to hear the history in regards, because that's such an accomplishment. You feel me?
I appreciate
to
that. Thank you.
Become
Thank you.
What you've done. I mean, man, everything from that, and not just vibe, ladies and gentlemen. I want to share with you that look, this brother's on the move, okay? He also had the Men's Lifestyle Guide, the King Magazine, Rise Magazine,
yes,
editor-in-chief of Hip Hop Street Authority, Double XL Magazine. He is a force to be reckoned with. The brother is taking notes, and he's applying them because he's learning from people that are inspiring him to be the best version of who he is. And so, look, y'all get y'all notes ready tonight. So y'all can learn.
Yeah,
okay, but tell
that.
Us the story, Daquan.
Yeah, like the short inversion is just, you know, once we got back to the States from Japan, we stayed in New Mexico for like a year and a half. We was in Albuquerque at Kirtland Airport. And while I was there, I was still, you know, longing and wanting to be in New York. So one of the things that I always did was I was always reading, always had comic books, all of that stuff. So that kind of like gave me the spark to want to write and be creative. And then, you know, the music bug was always in me. All my uncles are DJs except for one. And I just grew up on that before I even got to Japan. So boom,
Did you DJ a little bit, Daquan?
Heck yeah, had to. Like, that was the one thing even before I got to Japan. You had to be nice at everything when I was a kid. You had to know how to play basketball, football, baseball. You had to know how to play freeze tag good. You had to beatbox. You had to battle. You had to rap a little bit. You had to do everything. You had to break dance. So all of that was part of, you know, growing up in Brooklyn. And when I got back in 89, I felt like when I got back to stay in 91 and finish high school and everything, that's when I was like, I'm in New York. I'm trying to be everywhere. So I was going to everything as like a 15, 16-year-old, just going to all types of park jams. They were still doing park jams and stuff like that back then.
Getting
in the studios, just meeting people. And when I finished high school, like, and Little Kim, Junior Mafia, all of them, they went to my high school. So you got to see, people blowing up, you know, like, in front of you while you're in high school. I was like, dang, this is crazy. So I just started writing more and more, you know, like for school papers and stuff like that in college. And Vibe happened to be like 10 blocks up. So one day I just called the number that was on the website. This is 96. You know, my man Greg picked up, and it was just so wild. It was like a movie. They let me stay there. You know, I didn't get any college credit or anything like that, but I didn't even want it because I got it myself. So when other people had to leave, when other people had to leave, I stayed because I wasn't getting college credit. I was just happened to be there, and I got cool with everybody. And I was just, you know, mingling with, like, all the different writers that I love from the magazine since it came out. And it had been out for, like, 3 years. So I did that. Then I went over to XXL. I did the same thing. I cold called them after a year at Vibe, and they were just starting. And they gave me, like, my big, big start by hiring me on staff that very first year in 97.
That's
what's up. And I stayed there for 2 years.
Go ahead.
I worked up. I worked up into, you know, music editor, associate music editor. And then bounced from there, worked with Diddy Spot, bounced from there, went back, started King, started Rides.
Love it.
Also became editor-in-chief
of
XXL.
Now you're the founder of magazine, Daytoron?
Founder. Founder, yep.
Oh.
I came up with the idea.
Lord, give me some virtual
bit.
Dab. Bow. Yeah.
Word.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Oh, I love
it. Was a lot. Just hustling, just making sure that, you know, people would remember me. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted my work to stick out, but I felt like
there was a
void in a black men's interest market. You know, we always, for black men, it always seemed like it was, like, super pornographic or just music, you know, like, for black young black dudes. And I was like, what about the dudes that just want to learn about finance? You know, they love women, of course, but they want to know what it's like to buy their first car. How should they go and get their suits fitted? Like, it was, like, all of those lifestyle things I wanted to make sure that dudes knew about. And that's what we did for, like, 8-9 years. Yes, indeed.
Okay. You did that, honey. I'm gonna tell you my favorite, my girl. Look, my favorite cover is the one with Janet Jackson on it for the King magazine.
Oh
my dad,
man,
my girl
that was
right
dope.
There.
That was a good one right there. That one did numbers.
That's body goals. You heard? Listen.
And she was older
she
then.
Got the
little
best
she was in her.
The
I think, yeah, I think she was like she might have been like early 40s right there. I'm not sure. Maybe early 40s, late 30s.
I'm like, girlfriend had it going on. Yeah, but it had to be late 30s, early 40s. She got fine.
Yep.
As she got older, I said, girl, you look better now than you did with control.
Automatic.
Come on now.
Automatic.
Did
automatic.
That.
You're
he
absolutely right.
Man, that's amazing. What was that like as far as getting her on the cover?
Oh, that was dope. Like, by that time, I was editorial director. And I was working with my man, Jermaine Hall, who was editor-in-chief. And I remember we were sitting in a meeting, and he was like, yo, I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to happen. We're going to get Janet. And I was like, well, you think so? Because we have been going for so long trying to get her. We got Tyra. When we got Tyra, that kind of, like, opened up the door for all the major women that followed. Because they were like, if supermodel Tyra Banks could do it.
Oh yeah, I remember that
I
cover too. Fire.
Yeah, that one set us up. Maya set us up. But then Janet just put us on another level. You know?
Okay.
Like she was just
iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. Girl,
yeah,
honey.
She was definitely and she was super cool. She made it where it was like self packaged. She was like, okay, what y'all want? And we was like, yo, we want you like you know, sexy, but still, you know, on some businessy. Boom, got it, locked in. We came
y'all
back.
Did
it
that.
Was done. It was done, man. That was one of the first times that we ever had someone. Yeah, like they took our ideas and just met and exceeded our expectations. You know what I mean?
She did that. Sealed the deal.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Oh my goodness, amazing! I love it, love it, love it, and so. With that, you know, I think it's beautiful because it granted it was a magazine for men, but what I love about it is that you still showed women in an empowering way. I mean, yes, there was some sex appeal to it, you know, but it wasn't trashy sex appeal. You know what I mean? Like,
nah,
it wasn't,
not at all.
Like, stank on you. You know, it was very
classy
the way you showcased the
women.
Even
if we
in
did. Yeah, and that was the goal. Like, and Kim, you know me, I wouldn't have women out there looking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My mom is watching, you know, I want her to still be able to say, all right, cool. You know, my wife is still rocking. So I don't want her to be like this dude crazy, you know, but whenever we did kind of like push the envelope, we still did it with class. If it was like super uber sexy, we still did it with class. Like any of the women that we've dealt with, and now me and my man Adel, we just started the King Crown Jewel podcast. We started it like beginning of December, and we just tomorrow we're actually dropping the episode with Melissa Ford, who was like a
beautiful.
Big King favorite. Yeah, now she's
she
on
was.
Fox Soul doing
her
thing. Yeah, and you know the music. Video vixen like champion, she's the one, and she just showed so much love. Like all the women that we're revisiting because we're this year makes 20 years since we did it, you know, since we started it.
Hot, I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
20
wow.
years. So we're talking to everybody, former staff, all of that, just to get their take on like how we impacted culture. You know, I travel. Well, before COVID, I traveled all over the world. I would get love everywhere.
Yeah.
But if I was in the hoods of any place, I just got so much love. It's crazy.
You see?
It's crazy. Even now, like on social, it's amazing.
Right, because you really did, you put such an imprint on hip-hop, you know, and the black community. The magazines were such a part of that elevation, you know, it just made it that lifestyle. Exactly how you were talking about educating the black men on, you know, different things that they weren't learning in school, right?
Right.
So it
we had to package it. Yeah, Kim, like, the main thing is, like, we had to package it in a fun way, too. You know, like, if you came to crazy academic, then they'll be like, all right, chill. But if you came too crazy hood, then you alienate another, you know, sector. So we tried to operate in the, like, intelligent street, but, you know, professional, but still fun guy. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And it just worked. And I think that's why we get so much love still after everything that we did with it.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, what I always tease and I tell my daughters all in life, if you're going to date a thug, I said, date a corporate thug. Okay? One that know how to
get
be
get a corporate thug.
And got business swag and make money.
Word up.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what your magazine represented to me. I was like, okay, this is a corporate thug right here. I like the street.
Yeah,
you got the
go.
Street knowledge,
there
but
go.
You got that business hustle.
Yeah, that's
okay.
The main thing. And yep, especially now, like as you know, it's 20 years now. I was like 25, 26 when we did it, and now that you know,
oh.
I'll be 46 in a couple of months. I'm just like, where did the time go? You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I'm just
right.
glad that we did. You know, we did, and we continue to do quality work. You know, so it felt good.
And let me tell my listeners,
yeah,
what's crazy about this? So when Daytuan and I were in middle school together in high school, what was crazy about it, his last name had actually been
mm-hmm.
different than what Emma. Can I say it on the air or no? You
yeah, please do. Yeah. It was crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I didn't ask you prior, so but his last name was Francis. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so when I seen, you know what's crazy, I would read magazine and Vibe and I would see your name, Daytuan, but
right.
it didn't click.
Right.
Thomas, but I'll be like, I went to school with this boy named Daytuan. Not knowing it was you.
Like, yo,
and it
exactly,
wasn't until
it was
years
me.
Later.
Yep.
You're the only Daytuan I know. I promise on the planet. Never met another Daytuan ever. So I would think of you and be like, my homie name. Yeah. So we didn't connect until years later on Facebook through the Yokota High School Facebook group. And Linda,
wow.
if you're listening, girl, hey, Linda was the one responsible
Love
for
Linda.
Us all together. She found all of us.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Linda's
honey
the one.
Pulled us, did that, didn't she? Pulled us all together.
Yes, she
and
did.
I'm like, wait a minute, Daytuan, Tom. I said, that was him in the magazine. When I figured
Yo,
it out.
It's so wild. Like,
yeah.
like back then, you know, my mom had married my stepdad, so. When we got to Japan, I just took his last
mm-hmm.
name, so everything
mm-hmm.
would be a lot smoother. And then when we got back, you know, to America, and I've never told this story before. I've never told this, but when we got back to America, my great grandmother, my great grandmother, she was just like, "Yo, you know, to honor your great grandfather, I think you should, you know." Get your last name back. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, I think so. Before you graduate high school, you should do that. And she told me that. And then probably like a few months later, maybe a couple of weeks actually, she passed away and I had done it. And I graduated with Thomas, you know, in honor of my great grandfather and everything. And I just, of course, just kept it. Going through, and I feel good because you know I'm able to make history a lot of times, or at least my history, and hold up the name in its glory. You know what I mean? Like because of him and because of her, and the fact that she told me that I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and look. You know, like everything tended to work out, but finding everybody on
did
Facebook.
Was she alive?
That was
they
crazy.
Was she alive when you changed her name?
Nah, she wasn't.
Oh, so she didn't get a chance to see it. Okay.
Nah, but she at least wanted me, because she passed away like senior year, so April, May, June. I graduated in June, so 2 months before I was able to like hold the actual diploma and show her. That right there was like, but it still felt good because I did it. I graduated.
Yes.
That was the thing that she wanted me to do. And I know, like, that's my angel guiding me in all this craziness.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were getting ready to say finding everybody on Facebook. What were you going to say about that?
Oh, yeah. Like, just finding everybody on Facebook, that was, like, I have waited a long time to jump on Facebook, all the way until like I was done with XXL and King and all that. I didn't get on Facebook, I think, until like 2009, and that was because Russell Simmons. I started working with him as the COO at Global Grind back then, and we were.
Oh, that's
one
right.
Of the, and,
yeah, you were really
yeah.
close with him. Matter of
yeah,
fact,
yes,
weren't
indeed.
You with him
like,
when you visited me out here in Vegas, right? He was with you then.
Yep.
I didn't see him, but me and Walter came to see you.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. We had
right.
our link. And what was so crazy was that I didn't know, like, one of the investors for the company was the main investor that got Mark Zuckerberg to jump out to Silicon Valley. So, you know, I'm meeting with them. They came out to New York.
Right.
And they was like, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll just link on. I didn't have any cards on them, like business cards. And he was just like, yo,
right.
we'll just link on Facebook. And I was like, I'm not on Facebook. I didn't know, like, he was the big dude for Facebook. And he was like, yo, so y'all coming to see me in, like, what, 3 weeks? He was like, you don't have a Facebook page by then, right? Like telling me. I was like, yeah, I might have it. And Kim, like, maybe 2 hours before we were supposed to meet him when we were in San Fran, I made my page because I forgot.
Oh, my goodness.
I made my page 2 hours
oh,
before probably. And all these requests came in, and I didn't want to leave my seat to go meet him because when I started the page, all these requests from, like, Japan and New Mexico and New York, I'm in San Fran in my hotel room just, like, seeing my whole life.
And everybody.
Like, just everybody was just popping up. And I was like, yo, no wonder everybody on this thing crazy. And that's how my Facebook stuff started. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
how we all started
better.
Getting
well, you're
up.
Getting you're getting better now, but
I'm trying.
Hardly
man. It's so hard.
Facebook. I'm like, where he
I'm
at,
hard,
Lord?
I know. I do everything on Instagram. Instagram is my thing.
Catch you on Instagram. Yep, I'll see you on Instagram. But Facebook,
yeah.
You are. I was like, where is he? I was like, I know how to find him. I'm going to go to Instagram.
But, yo, I found
you know,
there's only one person. I don't know if you remember her, but it's only one. I mean, I found, like, Danielle Curvin, my
yes,
fam, Sharonda and Ike.
Yes,
me and Vanessa before
yes.
she passed, like, you know, Sunja
yep,
was
yep.
on there. Everybody was on it. My man Sean, my bros,
yes.
Freddie and Aaron, everybody.
Jay on
but,
there.
Oh,
uh-huh,
yeah,
Mike,
Fredrika, Freddie, Tricky, yes. everybody. But do you remember Melissa?
Melissa.
Do you remember Melissa?
Yes,
she was
with the blonde
tall.
Hair, with the tall blonde hair. Yep.
Like, sometimes she would, I remember her with the black, but she would probably flip it to blonde. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's, the only person. Everybody else, me and Maurice, we've reconnected. It's just, like,
oh, that's
like
what, I was
going to
ask
one.
if you had connected with Maurice. That's good, because he's
oh,
in
yeah.
New York, too. That's why you two vibe so much, because.
Exactly. We was Brooklyn.
From New
we was
York.
Brooklyn. Get way out there.
Wow.
My best friend is from Brooklyn, too. From Marcy Project. Same project as Jay-Z.
Wow.
Before we like, oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of who else.
That's
oh,
something.
Alvin Gibson. Alvin
yep,
Gibson.
I remember Alvin.
Haven't seen. Yeah, it's,
yep.
it's wild.
Yep.
But you still in contact with people, too?
Absolutely, absolutely. I see them through our, Pam, Sumjai, Carla,
Wow. What up, Pam?
Two Michaels. Yep, yep.
Oh,
I
yeah,
see
Michael
you. Wilson. I see you on Facebook, Pam. Hey.
What up,
yep.
Pam? Michael Wilson came by my crib, too. He came by out here in New York. He came through and visited.
Michael, yes. He is a superstar.
Good
his
people.
Own right, honey. All in Africa and stuff.
Yep.
We just had him and his girlfriend was on Brown Sugar Radio. Actually, they were my premiere show when I started it back up. I just launched Brown Sugar Radio again after my hiatus
okay.
that I had taken.
Okay.
And, he's doing his thing. I know he was running track and stuff for a minute there. So, but
yep,
it's just
yep,
good to see
yep.
all of us so successful and happy
so
and doing
true.
Some amazing things. You feel me?
That's so true. Yeah, everybody
I mean,
with their families.
Listen.
You see their kids.
Yep.
Some of them got grandkids now, which is wild.
Okay.
It's just beautiful to see everybody, like, you know. Oh, Danae Garcia, I think her last name was. I seen her recent.
Danae.
Yeah, like,
yep.
She was super cool. Danae was dope. But have you been back? I've actually got a chance to go back. Like, 10 years ago, I went back. That was the last time I was
there. No. Okay, so you got to tell us the story about your house when you went. You said you went to go look at it.
Oh, yeah, well, I went back to the crib.
You're
so
telling me.
It was so crazy. I left in 89. I actually went back with Allen Iverson on assignment when we had to do Tokyo and then Shanghai, China for his 10th anniversary in the NBA. So I was out in Japan for like 3 days with him, and I was trying to get back to Yokota, but we didn't have enough time. So then, boom, I was like, damn, I'm never going to get over there. And I'm right here in Japan. I felt so crazy. So that was 2005.
Yeah.
2011, I get hit up by my really good friend, Corey Taylor, who at the time was the manager for SWV. And he was like, yo, you want to go on tour with us and just document? I was like, heck yeah. But where we going? He was like, Japan. I was like, oh, that's dope. He's like, we're going to Tokyo and then Osaka. And I was like, yo, this is my chance to get back. And
we had
3 days. Yeah, God was just like, yo, I'm going to get you there. We had 3 days at the Billboard Live joint. And I was like, they gave us, 5 hours or 6 hours free time one day before we left. And when I tell you I used every minute of that 5 hours, it was like an hour and a half on the train going. I spent an hour and a half, and I came an hour and a half back. And I actually got to my old housing complex. I walked in. They let me go in the apartment. Nobody was in there. Nobody was renting it out. I actually got in there, and I was, like, filming it for my mom and my sister. I was, like, I carved stuff in the wall. It was still there. It was crazy. And,
oh, my goodness. That
And it was still there. And I don't know if, like, I did. I got to find it. It's in here. It was January 2011. Yeah, I definitely will. It was January 2011. And they knocked it down, though. I just recently tried to look it up, like, maybe 2 weeks ago. And they knocked it down and turned it. They turned that whole complex into a dealership, a car dealership.
What?
It was crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you got your pictures just in time before they knocked it down.
I did. Yep, I did.
Oh,
but,
look at
those
that.
Those times were priceless. So I'm just glad I got a chance to, you know, go back as an adult, you know, and check it out.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Oh, wow. And take pictures, and then you tell your kids about all the stories we did as kids.
Yep.
They probably be like, what?
Yo, they be bugging out.
That's amazing.
They be bugging out.
I know, that's right? Jeez, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just so proud of you, you know what I'm saying,
for all the accomplishments
that you have done. And look, BET, you got to tell us about that. I mean, you had the honor of being a host on BET. Yeah, come on. Look, spill the tea on that one.
it's been amazing, like, to be able to, you know, jump from strictly, you know, doing magazines to being, like, a commentator on all these shows to now being a producer on the show. So just last year was my first time being a major producer on the Billboard Music Awards, also the American Music Awards, and I also consulted on this year's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. So it's like now that's like a new lane. Yeah, that's a new lane because our parent company also owns Dick Clark Productions. And Dick Clark Productions puts on, you know, the American Music Awards, Golden Globes, Billboard. They do so many big, super staple American TV shows. I was just like, well, let me see what's up with this. And I got really cool with them, you know, through the parent company, and now I'm on the producing table board, and I'm just like, wow, man, you never know where life will take you and where you're inquisitive and you want to learn. And you know, your spirit is free enough to where you can work with different types of people. And now, it's like
it.
When I do my
my
BET thing or the Soul Train thing for BET, I have a bunch of producing friends that, you know, I've known forever, but now I have such a different respect for them because now I'm doing what they do to a degree. And it's like, wow, y'all been doing it on, like, I can't even imagine the anxiety because it's a lot to deal with when you bring in artists and you have your creative, but it's like go time on TV. You can't take it back. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
But
just
expanding
my, too,
my
like,
whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yep,
that's
expanding.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you, how do you like, you know, TV versus writing, versus, you know, magazine?
Wow.
What would you say would be the pros and cons of both?
I would say the pros of writing is that I love when I'm done writing. The cons of writing is when I'm writing, then I'm hurt. I'm like, I'm not the best person to be around probably, you know, and I struggle because I want it to be good because I know, like, it stands the test of time. And, you know, you put your name on stuff, it means something. But I love writing. It'll never leave me. And then with TV, it's more about your relationships and how you can convey entertainment and information in smaller packages, but still be robust. So it's a new muscle that I'm flexing, and my writing career has helped me tremendously in the learning curve. My family said that I'm super hyped when the TV stuff come on. The writing thing, I'm amped up when people say they like something. Like my man Say, he just hit me like 2 minutes ago. It was like, yo, I saw this piece you did. Amazing. I was like, wow. That still makes me feel good. You know, when somebody just unsolicited just hit you out the blue with something I wrote yesterday and they loved it today. And so that's the part that I think I'm going to always have. I think I got a book in me. I think a book is going to happen soon.
I was going to ask
then,
you like, where your book at?
Yeah.
Look, okay.
Yeah,
you like to write.
Yeah,
I don't like to write, and I burp the book. But
I'm telling you, I feel like anybody that can write a book, I think of them as like a superhero. I really do. Anybody, because it's not an easy task to sit down and get your thoughts on paper where other people could care about it and understand and take something away, you know, from that.
Right.
So I just like love people that are authors. And I've been having a couple of talks lately, so I think that's going to happen, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah, especially if you enjoy writing. You know, if that's like a passion of yours. For me, it was an assignment. Like, God was like, all right, look, I need to get this message out. It's time, you know.
Yep.
I actually talked a lot of my book and had to go back and write it later because I just was not – I wasn't about to write that.
Nah, that worked. Yeah, that works. That works. You got to love – you got to go with your own process. That's what I would tell people.
Yeah.
And that's with anything, you know. And assignments and in life, go with your own process.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I definitely look forward to you writing the book. You got to tell your life story. I mean, it's just been so wonderful. And to your daughters, you say you have three daughters and a wife.
Yeah.
You tell your family definitely that I said hello and that, you know, we are grateful for them. I look forward to meeting them. I'm coming out there to see you.
Yes.
So let them know.
I'm telling you, bring your snow boots if it's any.
Through.
Bring your snow boots if it's anytime soon. But other than that, you good money.
Now, you know I'm too Vegas for snow. I'm coming in the summertime. I'm not about to fool with y'all in that snow. No.
Good talking
y'all can
to
have
you,
that. Take some pictures. Send it to me.
Yep.
But, So before we exit off the air tonight, tell us any upcoming projects that you have, anything that you would love for my listeners to support you on. Events.
Yes, indeed. Definitely hit up vibe.com. Hit up my hat company called 22. Y'all can just follow us. You know, just jump on my IG. You'll see all the information for it. And I just started this new battle site for the verses that be happening with Timbaland and Swiss. you can, you know, choose the different tracks and all that. It's called Rater.live. That's RATER.LIVE. But just go to my Instagram, just at Daytwan, and all the information is there on everything I'm doing.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. Well, it has definitely been a pleasure having you, and we got to have back again soon. Thank you so much, my brother, my friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go back
all the time,
sis.
Yes, all the way, all the way. And real quick, I just want to say something about you real quick. I want to give you so much love for being as strong as you are through all the different trials and tribulations that you've gone through in the last year and change. And just to see you battle through everything, it's beautiful to see you come out smiling and with that same amazing spirit and all the grace. So much love, and thanks for showing everyone love like you do.
I appreciate that. I truly do. Yep, absolutely.
All right.
And look, one day, I promise you, I said, Daytwan, when I get out there, I said, I'll be able to, you know what I'm saying, chop it up with you and the girls and the wife, and we can have a good time.
There we go.
Just, you know what I mean, just chill. But thank you. That meant a lot to me because it has been one heck of a year for all of us. You know what I'm saying? But, definitely, I appreciate that, you know. I really do. So, all right. Well, Brown Sugar Rail, listeners, we are going to go ahead and exit for the night. Daytwan, thank you for coming through.
Of course.
Always, you know, you're always welcome back anytime.
No doubt. Y'all take care. Peace.
All right. All right, listeners. Well, thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next week. We got Coco Cakes coming through, and she's going to teach you how to get your body right, honey. If you want to get right for summertime, join us next week, honey, to get your summer body back. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where empowerment is extraordinary. Have a fantastic evening.